In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And you know what? We're going to have some music today because we're not going to let this global warming bother us. You know why? Because the Lord is still on the throne. That's not what I want. That's it. That's the one. Come on, let's sing it.
Hallelujah.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountains, reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valleys, flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. That's right, that's right. It soothes my doubts and it calms my fears. Calms my fears. You know what else it does? Dries all my tears. Dries all my tears. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Come on, it reaches to the highest mountain. It reaches to the highest mountain. Flows to the lowest valley. Flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. Come on, it reaches. It reaches. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Yes, that blood of Jesus never will lose its power because it's that blood that brings us the remission of our sins. It's that blood that the martyrs counted on, that blood that Jesus shed on the cross when they were in the arenas. It was that blood now that when people in Muslim countries will die for the love of Jesus, that they depend upon that precious blood. We hear the story of the East Armenian Chaldean bishop, Paulus Faraj Raho, killed. He's a bishop. He was killed in March 2008, the 13th. That's right, a West Armenian Syrian Orthodox bishop, abducted, slaughtered, killed, killed along with three deacons. Killed. Killed. And this beautiful archbishop killed. For sure, the perpetrators do not act out of blind rage or fanaticism. On the contrary, it seems there is a well thought out plan behind these terrible killings. After all, how can you in most appropriate and effective way chase the people out of a country in order to clean it of the unwanted unclean ones? The most effective way is to achieve this is to kill the leaders, and then the people will leave the country. That's what the Muslims do. At least those Muslims in Mosul killing the archbishop, this holy Chaldean man of God. I'm reading from the first chapter of St. Mark, and I'm sure none of you heard this yesterday as God's word was broken to you about the temptation scenes of Jesus Christ in Mark. And now I'm going to give you, as Paul Harvey called it, the rest of the story. And you know what? May he rest in peace, for Mr. Harvey just died. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of the Galilee region, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And straightway coming out of the water, the heavens were open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon Jesus. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered unto him. In Mark's gospel, we do not have the three temptations, because Mark is writing to the Roman community who are led to the games at the Circus Maximus, and they are led before the tigers and the lions, and they will be the sport, and they will go before the people as they're cheering, as they're being slaughtered and eaten up. These are God's people in the first century who love Jesus. And what does Mark say? Mark says that Jesus was in the wilderness with the wild beasts. And Mark is telling his community, you too will be with the wild beasts, and the angels will minister to you. But please, hold out to the end. Hold out to the end. Hold out to the end. For we know human nature. There were many people who were brought to the Circus Maximus, who jumped out of the bus, who denied Jesus Christ, who walked away. We know that, because that's human nature. We hear of the wonderful saints, Felicity. We hear of the wonderful saints, Ignatius. We hear of the wonderful saints, Clement of Rome. We hear of the wonderful saints and martyrs who died a martyr's death at the mouths of the lions and the tigers. And I'm not talking about the Wizard of Oz. We hear about them in the first century. But you know, my friends, Mark was warning the people that there was persecution, and that, you know, Jesus was with the wild beasts, and you too will be with the wild beasts. Mark did not have a time to tell the people in Rome that about the temptations of Jesus, just that he was with the wild beasts, and they too would be with the wild beasts. Let me also tell you this. Let me tell you this. I'm telling you this, as Maria Vadia told me, I never thought that I would see what happened in Cuba happening in the United States. Socialistic, love words from the king, who is supposedly our president, from the king. He is more a king than a president. And you know what? Today the Herald had him as a king. Isn't that something? I prophesied that a long time ago when he was running for the election. I prophesied that long time ago when he was running for the election. But let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you what I want you to get ready for, because persecution is on its way. It's on its way. Do you know that our King Obama, do you know that he will not go to a prayer breakfast and stay for the prayer? Have you heard that yet? He will come in after the prayer has been said. He will leave before the benediction. You know that? Isn't that interesting? Does that surprise you? Doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. This man is not a Christian. This man is not a Christian. And yet, if any fool would invite him to a prayer breakfast and he doesn't want to stay for the prayer, omit the president, for heaven's sake. Omit the we don't need this man. We don't need a president to come in and give us some more sweet talk. Listen, if he can't pray with the people, get over it. We don't need this man at a prayer breakfast. We don't need this man. He will not come in during the invocation and during the benediction. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if Allah told him that. I wonder if Allah told him that. Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, you know what else he's doing? Our king. Our king. You know what else he's doing? Let me tell you what else he's doing. People who make big donations, especially the rich, will not be able to take them out on their income tax. Do you want to know why? Because he wants all their money taxed. So rich people will not be able to take a break on their income tax. It's class hatred. Isn't that wonderful? Class hatred. But you know who's going to suffer? The institutions are going to suffer. The Red Cross is going to suffer. The Christian colleges are going to suffer. The Catholic schools are going to suffer. The Cardinal's Appeal going to suffer, because these rich guys give thousands and even hundreds of thousands. And you know what? Now that they can't take it out on their income tax, they're going to start thinking, why should I give it? But you know what? I never wanted to court the rich anyway. I just think it's very sad that there is a class hatred toward the rich. When the rich, most of them, I'm not counting the Kennedys now, they earned their money. They earned their money. Why should we be jealous of the rich? They earned their money. But you see, he's taking all the tax write-offs from the rich. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? He's dividing the country like the Civil War, the rich against the poor. I tell you, the rich pay most of our taxes. And now we want them to pay everything. You know, I knew that he was telling the untruth. Do you remember when he said in his campaign promises? Do you remember? I remember, because I remember these things. Do you remember what he said? I remember these words. Oh, and I knew they were words. Anyone making less than $100,000 a year will pay no taxes. That's what he said. That's right. No taxes. That's right. And then we have the Deval Patraka, you know, Deval, who's going to put 19 cents per gallon. Oh, mamma mia, they're made out of the same bolts of cloth. They are brothers in thievery who steal from us. They make all the debts, and we've got to pay for them. But I'm telling you, there's persecution coming down the road, and we're not ready. I've been saying this for years, but you know, it's building up now. There's persecution coming down the road, and we're not ready. Because you know what? You know what? We've been raised on bonbons. We've been raised on bonbons. And how many people will stand in the midst of persecution? How many people will be with the wild beasts, but they won't be lions and they won't be tigers, but they'll be the judge, the liberal judges, the liberal judges who hate life, the liberal judges who want people who have faith dead. That's right. Because faith is the issue. Faith is the issue. How many of us would undergo persecution from King Obama? It's coming down the road. It's coming down the road. You know, this whole thing of the Fair Act on radio, they take me off the air because of what I'm saying. What I'm saying about King Obama. I'm telling you, my friends, he is no king. He's more white than he is black. He's more white than he is black. There is a black genocide going on in Washington. Like 90% of the babies killed in Washington are black. A black genocide. I tell you, if I were a black man, I would want my black babies. I would want those beautiful black babies saved from the butcher, from the abortion provider. Tiller, the killer, do you realize? You know what? He starved that baby, and that baby died. Do you realize that Killer the Tiller, just a couple, Tiller the Killer, this is Abriha's name, his name is Tiller. You look it up in your Google. Tiller, abortionist, T-I-L-L-E-R. Tiller the Killer, we call him. That the other day, that he slit the throat of a 9-month baby in the womb. They call it a partial birth abortion. A 9-month baby. You know, that's what he did. Tiller the Killer. And you know who's for this? King Obama. He's not my Emmanuel. He's not my Emmanuel. And now the church, oh, the church is so pathetic. Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, so pathetic. Now we're going to have postcards, we're going to write them in now against FOCA, which would take away all the restrictions on abortion. Now that the horse is out of the barn, we're going to do something. You know what? I want to tell you people that we as Catholics and evangelicals and Pentecostals had the right to put in our bulletins what McCain was for and what Obama was for. Not to tell people how to vote, but we could have placed in our bulletins McCain anti-abortion, pro-life, Obama for late-term abortions. Obama, that if a child was born at a botched abortion, he'd starve them. It's called infanticide. We could have put that in our bulletin. Now, we couldn't have made the people vote, because our people have been converted by the globe rather than by the gospel. But at least we could have done that. And you know what? And it would have been legal. But guess what? The church has no testicular fortitude. That's the way the church is in most places. So now we're going to write our little postcards saying we're against FOCA. And you know what they'll do with your postcards? They will throw them in the bucket. When we could have done something, we didn't do it. You know why? Because we have no faith. We have no courage. We want everyone to think that we're nice little people. And now that the horse is out of the barn, let's do something. I don't think so. Oh, my God, Ignatius of Antioch would turn over in his grave. Justin Martyr would turn over in his grave. I'm going to tell you, Bishop Oscar Romero is turning over in his grave when he sees the church and how pathetic we are. Because the only way to defeat the world is that the church be who she is. Lumen Gentium, the light of the world. My friends, it's the church's fault that Obama is elected. We were told not to put anything in the bulletin. We did it anyway. You know, let them throw me out. Let them throw me out. That's fine. I want to be thrown out for saving babies' lives. I want to be thrown out, you know? I want to be thrown out if that's what they want to do to me. I want to be thrown out for speaking the truth. I want to be thrown out if that's what they want to do to me. My Lord, they're killing children every single day. I was reading yesterday, you know, about the Bishop of Scranton writing to Senator Casey about not being able to go to Holy Communion. You know why? Because he's a baby killer. It's a public sin to vote for abortion. And he has been told that he's excommunicated unless he changes his views. One bishop has and he's an Italian too. One bishop has the guts and the courage to say the truth. What happens when the real persecution comes? If we can't listen now. You see, God is going to get us. I'm going to tell you. If the church doesn't stand up for the right and doesn't do what's right, so the big money now is not going to give to the church. There'll be more closings because we're not going to be able to take their donations out of the income tax. They're not going to give. You think they're like Father Tom? Father Tom doesn't care about the income tax. Oh, I use it, but I'm going to tell you this. If they took my tax-free number away tomorrow, you know what I'd say? Goodbye, crew world. I'm off to join the circus. I'm still going to preach. And if that means if I have to get off stations, I'll get off stations, but I'll preach in Boston. That's enough for me. I'll preach on the internet. Hallelujah. And you can watch me on the internet, fathertoms.com. FatherToms.com, it's my .com, FatherToms, FatherToms.com. See, I am tired of fluff and no stuff. When I see my Savior Jesus Christ during these 40 days, that we suffer with Him, that we go to Calvary with Him, that we go to the empty tomb with Him, that if we are not able to suffer with Him and we are not able to stand up against the darkness of the world, what good are we? What good are we? Like, what good are we? There will be a day of great persecution, and the church is not ready. The church is not ready. The church is not ready. Maybe I'm not even ready, but at least I'm talking about it. And did you hear anyone talk about persecution yesterday? That the Jesus was with the wild beasts? Did you hear anything about the wild beasts? That maybe one day we'll be with the wild beasts, but there'll be liberal judges? Have you heard about that? Are they going to talk about that in your churches? I'm going to tell you. If the prophet doesn't speak about the political situation, even as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel did, and just proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ as our only hope, my Lord, then the prophet is no prophet at all. And the church is called to be prophetic. The prophetic church that speaks God's word despite what people want to hear. I had three people walk out on me yesterday. And you know what I say? Well, they don't have to come back. They don't have to come back. They don't need to come back. You see, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm warning the people. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. We heard that on Ash Wednesday. Well, I'm blowing the trumpet. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm asking people to get ready. I'm asking people to find their knees. What's wrong with that? I want to know what's wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. They call that the prophetic stance. But you know what? Who is prophetic these days? Who will be the cardinal calls me a prophet. Well, hallelujah. I'll show you the wounds on my back that I'm a prophet. I'll show you the rejections. I'll show you what, listen. Our church has more services than most big churches, and we have so few people come. You know why? Because nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, okay? I'm not telling you that sometimes I go over the what? over the brink, but I'm going to tell you, I'm for the poor. I'm for the poor. People come to my house. Just yesterday came to my house. They couldn't feed their family. I opened my freezer to give them what I had. And then I went and gave them money so that their children could be eating. I'm not into talking about things. I'm not into being a big spokesman. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn. I'm just trying to say, my Lord, if we can't care for the poor and we can't care for children, I'm going to tell you, what good are we? One church in Watertown, there's a letter, a note on the door that says, I think it's St. Patrick's, it says, don't bother to come and ask for anything like money because we need it ourselves. That's what I was told. That's what I was told. And I want to apologize to the St. Timothy prayer group. Okay, forgive me. I had the wrong information. So please forgive me. And I had the wrong information. So I said too much about that. I called them elitists. And you know what? I was wrong. So please forgive me because I had no right to say that. I didn't know the circumstances and I spoke too soon. So please forgive me. You know, who's going to do the right thing? Like, who's going to do the right thing? Lumen Gentium. I've been reading the document Lumen Gentium. My gosh, it doesn't sound like the Church of Boston, I'll tell you that much. You know, I look it up in Google, Lumen Gentium, the document on the church. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We will have a miracle service Sunday coming. Sunday coming, the second Sunday of February. And we will be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday at 7:30. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And my web address is fathertoms.com. Click it on fathertoms.com. Fathertoms.com. One more time, fathertoms.com. And you can get my meatballs, too. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.